And we are on the BOE number 008, which is Westgate Industrial. We're also going to be talking about 009 in this 15-minute time frame. So if all the board members would pull up that, and you can come to the microphone there, sir. And we will start in just a second here as we open that file. The process that we kind of go through is that we have all the documentation that you supplied to the clerk's office, so we have that on our laptops to review. You'll have an opportunity to state your, give us the details. The board members may ask you a few questions. At the end of that, we'll have the assessor state his situation, give us the details of why he came up to the price, and then sometime during the day, we'll vote at a break or at the end of the day. At sometimes we may table it, and then whatever the decision is, it'll be mailed to you from the clerk's office to you. So sometime next week, you would get something in the mail. So you are Mr. Eric Roberts, is that right?
That is correct. Yeah,
wonderful. So we show that you purchased, and I'm looking at BOE number,
I purchased them both parcels together at one purchase price of $80,300.
You purchased them, okay, I have one for $60,225 on May 21st.
Well, there was two parcels, and so I just, there's eight lots, I just divided it, you know, eight by...
Allocated it by lot.
Gotcha.
Allocated it by lot.
I see what you're saying. All right.
I'm not saying that's the best way to allocate it.
Okay. Well, then go ahead and start, and we'll listen.
Okay. Well, I had two main aspects to look at. One is the current purchase price. The property had been foreclosed back in 2001. They had listed it and tried to sell it for years. First time I got interested in it was in 2009 when Billy Long had advertised an auction, and I came down at that time and was a high bidder, but there wasn't very much action then at $40,000, and the bank decided not to sell it. So this year, in April 30th, I believe it was, Billy Long had another auction. There was three bidders there at that auction, and I was the high bidder at $80,300. And I'd also, you know, talked to the bank, and they said they decided to sell it. But it is an arm's length sale. It was a well-advertised auction, and there was three bidders. The second portion that I would like to point out is, and that's why I provided this map right here.
Okay.
Is that if you just went by comparison of these tracks to the other tracks, I believe they are worth less than everything else in the other subdivision due to the topography and the detention that lies on them. If you, one, it has the above ground drainage here that is carried across the track, and if you go up to this next track, I think right in here, it's below ground. On these lots, and you know, on these lots are more level. The second thing is the stormwater detention is down here covering lot 35 for the most part, and that's not the detention just for mine, that's the detention for the whole subdivision.
Okay.
And then up here, where it says very steep, hard to use frontage, if you go out there, it's dropping off.
Those contour lines are what, 2 feet or 10 feet?
Those are 2 foot contours. This is from the city GIS system, is that
so
right?
It's 2 foot contours?
So just at the road frontage, it just drops off really steep.
Okay.
And then it continues on down that. So those would be 1, 2, 3, 4. By the time you get to the drainage, I guess that's
40 feet down.
40 feet down.
Over a distance of probably 50 or 60 feet, so it's like a 70% slope or 60% slope probably.
Okay.
Making it very difficult to get to, you know, and use as far as that frontage, and then, you know, the drainage separates that off. So that's, you know, 3 out of 8 lots are very hard to use, and, well, and of course the detention's on there. Oftentimes,
can you zoom out one more time?
You know, the detention basin, in some cases, in this case, it's on lot 35. In some cases, you know, it's off-site, and it is off-site for everyone else. And so that's my main information that I have on it, and I'd like you to consider reducing it from the $517,000 to the $80,300 that I paid most recently.
Okay. James, go ahead.
All I've got on it is it was purchased such a late date, actually here in 2010. I think the actual purchase of this property is irrelevant to its market value as not being a true arm's length transaction. Property sold on the courthouse steps is advertised the same way as this property was, and it is an open object auction to all bidders that want to show up, and we don't look at them as arm's length transactions. There have been some movement on properties in this subdivision. As values dropped in here at one time to $1 a square foot, and but the last time I had any dealings with the properties in there, this BOE, I believe, heard the one around the corner that goes up to the old Duck Landing, where a corporation out of Joplin bought it last year. And I think they said they give 80 cents a square foot or $1 a square foot for that. It hooks in right there at the end of that and goes right up. The Duck Landing should be right up in the right-hand corner of that.
Well, I remember something that we had that had a, this map looks real familiar, and had a detention area.
That's just proper.
Huh?
That was in another area.
Was it? Okay. Well, this kind of...
I think the one you're talking about that sold for 80 cents a square foot was actually adjacent to other property that extended up to the strip.
Right, but it came off of this property, Kelly.
Yeah.
They all hook in at that cul-de-sac and goes up to the...
Yeah, but the guy buying the property adjacent was increasing the size of his strip property, and that lot also lays a whole lot better than what Eric has here.
Right.
You said values were at a dollar, and I noticed that you have most of the surrounding property valued at a dollar a square foot, but these two particular tracts you have valued at $1.25 a square foot. Why is that?
Probably because they got access on Scott and Frank Ray Road both. They've got access to three different streets on those properties, and I don't see a thing wrong with the property that fronts Frank Ray. Actually, it's pretty good property till you get back to the ravine and it's sloped, and you can see.
So that's like half or two thirds of the property might be worth what the others are around it, but the back part that's severed by the ravine might not be.
Right, that's right. And like I say, it was based on value. I've never heard a quarrel about the value of the property, other than some points above there at $1 a foot. I have never had that I know of, an appeal directly in that Frank Ray and Gary.
But you don't, the sales that you relied on for your value are from when?
Probably 03.
Okay.
And I can't think of the gentleman's name that did that, but he also sold the lot next to Walmart, where it was at an Office Depot or something, went in for a little while. It was a,
mm-hmm. It's not. Dinosaur.
Yeah, I think that went for $6 a square foot.
Right. He had bought up into that area.
It had an access directly onto the strip.
Right. Well, maybe.
No, it had an access there. But anyway.
Any other questions for the?
Yeah, I have several.
Go ahead. It went before you. Anybody else?
Which is the other two lots? Is that the lots 3 and 4, the other case that we're hearing?
Yeah, it's on the other side of Gargis or whatever it is, from the south side of the cul-de-sac down to Frank Ray, and it has this kind of goofy tail.
You see the cul-de-sac, Christy? To the right of that?
To the right of that.
Down.
Just a little bit to the left.
Yeah. To the left, there.
Right there.
That's the other piece?
That's all the other piece there.
Okay, it's not those two lots out on the end then?
No.
Okay.
I think Patch has the lots on the end that go with the other property up here.
This is the detention, and then this is the drainage.
Yeah,
Can you move your cursor there so we can see it?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
That whole neighborhood drains through that property to that detention there. So this property, topographically, is significantly inferior to all the other properties around it. Eric, what do you think the highest and best use of this property would be?
Well, Right now, just to hold for better times.
Looking for, from an income residual standpoint, what could some, looking at, and looking at surrounding land uses, what if, what's proven to be feasible in development in this neighborhood?
Well, there is a mini warehouse, and there is the apartments across the street are the two.
Which is to the north. It's not shown on this aerial photo.
That's correct, okay. To the north. As far as me, but I don't know if they'll let me do it. I thought maybe my Boy Scout troop might come down and do some camping on it in the interim.
What would someone expect the eventual development of the property be? Would it be some sort of commercial use, or would it be some sort of residential multifamily use?
Well, I would think the multifamily would be more likely in that neighborhood. It's never taken off commercially, and the access, I think, is limited. There's a lot more better commercial tracts out there.
Okay. And it doesn't have commercial exposure. The commercial tracts would need, I would imagine. Your firm, first, I think you guys don't know this. You guys don't know what Eric's background is in tax appeal, actually, even. He outclasses all of us here, by the way.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Your firm has done appraisals on other multifamily projects in the area. Do you know, have a vague idea of what multifamily land sells for in the Branson area?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm way, way behind on that in the area. I guess when I talk to the you know, as I guess the story I hear is multifamily is pretty slow right now.
Yeah.
And so as a result, that'd probably make multifamily land worth less. Okay. Don't suppose there is a possibility if it was rezoned or if it was assessed as residential, that would help out quite a bit.
Well, that's what I was leading up to, is why you didn't ask for a change in classification from commercial to residential.
Wasn't smart enough, I guess.
All right.
A couple other quick questions. You purchased it from a bank, is that correct?
They were the seller. Mm-hmm. But they had
the
it since 2001.
They,
you know, this was not a foreclosure auction on the courthouse step type
of
thing.
It was bank REO, but it's bank REO they'd had for years.
And they've been trying to sell it during that period.
What?
How's it zoned?
In the city of Branson, how is it zoned right now?
Commercial.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
In your experience, or have you done any studies or have any idea, when a bank sells a property in this market environment, how much less it usually brings when a bank sells it than when it's an arm's length transaction?
We've seen it anywhere from no deduction to, but when I did a study on some single family lots, it was more closer to probably 50%.
50%, yeah.
And
but more typically, it is somewhere in the middle of that range?
Yes, I would think more typically.
So if you were buying it from a bank at $80,000, that might be an indication, the circumstances of the sale would indicate something like $100,000, $110,000, $120,000, something in that range, as to what the property was worth when you paid $80,000 from a bank.
Yes, I would say that's correct. At the most, $160,000, you know, 50%, you know, twice.
When did you buy this from the bank?
The auction date, I believe, was April 30th, and then I bought it on May.
You closed it in May sometime.
Closed it in May. I also would be my thoughts, is seeing at the first of 2009, it was worth probably even less.
You think it's appreciated since early 2009?
I was a high bidder in July of 2009 at $40,000.
So you're saying there's more interest in that kind of property now than there was back then?
We had three bidders. One was an adjacent property owner, Mr. Wright. The other was a large commercial person, and they had actually been also trying to get a property adjacent to the strip.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there's considerable more value.
All right. Well, evidently you had researched this property when you were bidding on it, and you knew what the taxes were at the time you were bidding on it. Is that correct?
That is. And the discussion as we were there was the bank said, you know, the seller was told everybody at the auction that surely the assessor would reduce the taxes.
Gotcha. All right. Any last questions from the board? All right, thank you very much for the time. We will deliberate later on throughout the day. You'll get mailed the decision. Thank you for coming in.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Staying on schedule, we're going to go now to 022 is the last three digits, Davis Aviation. And that you? You come on up to the microphone as we pull up that file.
This is Chopper Charters.
Chopper Charters.
Out at the little airport.
Yes.
This is Chopper Charter where?
At the Point Lookout Airport.
At the airport. This isn't the one they're leasing on the strip.
Right.
No, this is the one Point Lookout Airport.
Okay.
So let's pull that file up. Give me 1 second here. 022, Davis Aviation. And your name is?
I'm Rhonda Landreth.
Rhonda?
Mm-hmm. R-H-O-N-D-A.
Okay.
And it's L-A-N-D-R-E-T-H.
All right. So you may have heard the first spiel. What we're going to do is, I'm familiar with the case. I think some of us are on the commission. As a commissioner, we've heard the situation.
Okay.
So what we'll do is hear what you have to say. Then the commission may ask you, board may ask you a few questions. We'll have the assessor make some comments. And then we'll make a decision sometime today, hopefully, and mail you the results of that.
Okay.
If we decide to make a motion and do that during this next 15 minutes, that's great. But a lot of times we wait and deliberate later.
Okay.
So, with that said, just make sure you've done no improvements. You're renting the space from the airport, and you didn't pay taxes years before. Or this is your first year in there, is that right? Or?
Yeah, we've been there since 2008.
2008, mm-hmm. Okay. And so you don't own the building, you're just a leaser.
We lease a portion of the building.
Gotcha. Okay.
On a one-year basis?
Year-to-year basis, yes, I believe.
Okay.
The last agreement was first day of September 2009. I think it should go year-to-year.
Okay. All right. Just why don't we start with James this time before you start? Let's just start with James because it was a little change in process. And so, James, do you mind starting?
This was actually discovered when we put on some properties at the current airport that is sitting on county properties. We then went to the county-owned airport and looked at those items in that area and discovered that private enterprise was being operated out of there after leases. We put these on the books the same as we did any city-owned property, such as where all the shows and whitewater sets. We also have city-owned properties. The landing project that's got private enterprise businesses sitting on them as lease agreements to taxation and assessment as non-exempt. So that's basically where this built from and how this was created. Don't understand any of the formalities of saying that there should be no taxes paid because of the lease agreement. I don't think that has the lease agreement doesn't have to state that taxes are owed. I think that's an assumption that should have been by any body that deals in real estate.
Okay. Bob, can you go ahead and chime in? So it's a different case. We normally would hear from you, but it's a little
basically,
different.
Basically,
I'm
fine.
Bob, if it doesn't address it.
Basically, at the very beginning, as he said, the large airport, the one that has airline service, there was a look at making some of the leasehold interest taxable. And when he did that, the assessor also looked at the smaller airport that Taney County owns and operates, and thought that in order to be fair, he needed to tax the leasehold interest there. Whether they're the same or equivalent or different, the situation for Chopper Charters is that they have a one-year lease with the county. They lease a portion of a building to operate their business out there. Again, it's an annual, it's just a year-to-year lease. And they have made no improvements, and it's sitting on county property, which is totally exempt property, although if there is a leasehold interest on the property, it's certainly taxable. Kelly, you had a question or comment?
I was going to wait until the rest of this is done, but I have some directly for you because
Why don't you go ahead? I mean, this.
Well, the first thing to shortcut the whole thing, her lease is year to year, which means she doesn't actually have an estate in land. She doesn't actually have real property. What she has is personal property. So it shouldn't be assessed as real property. So we're done right there.
That is possible at, because it's just an annual lease. That is a possibility.
Yeah, I don't think she has real estate. So I think it just as a technical legal matter, we're done right there. Number two, she's paying rent. And it sounds like I'm going to guess that her rent's not too far from market. So there's no bonus or no increment in market rent above her contract rent enough to where if she did have a leasehold estate where it had any actual market value. So there's no value to her leasehold estate.
If she were to sell her lease,
she has zero value in the lease.
Correct.
Yeah, so she has no value. Her value is zero, her tax is zero.
I'm going to go ahead and step out on a limb and move that we waive, make this, set it to zero as far as the set. How would you word it?
Well, this is a matter of law. I mean, I don't think anybody disagrees on the facts here. Ms. Landreth, you don't disagree with any of the facts that we've stated.
No.
Just you don't think you ought to be taxed because
we don't own the property or the hangar or the ground that it sits on, and our lease is to the county.
If this was privately owned property, the person who owned her property would be paying the real estate taxes. The fact that it's the county owning the property means the county pays its real estate taxes to itself.
May I make a suggestion?
You may make a suggestion.
That we table this till a little bit later in the process. I am meeting tomorrow with the CFO and the attorneys for the large airport tomorrow. We will be going over some of the law, but if you want to do it now, that's fine too.
I was going to say, if you feel necessary to educate yourself on the law, that'd be very good.
This is a matter of law. This isn't facts. Yeah, I mean, there's no facts for you guys to decide.
But I think the facts in this case are different than the big airport because they actually have an invaluable estate in land.
Oh, it's definitely a different set of facts.
And she doesn't. But I would be willing to table it until the county councilor deals with the issues and can educate the board on those issues a little bit.
I don't think this has anything to do with the other airport.
Okay.
Personally, this is property owned by Taney County. The building is owned by Taney County. She has a personal property liability to pay, but it doesn't have any real estate value.
So
it's not taxable real estate.
So what's your motion then? Motion to set zero or what?
That's the only thing that I can see that it would be. I can't.
I would rather move to delete the parcel actually, but
I agree.
On what?
Delete it. I think it's different from the big airport.
I think eventually that's where we're going. I think it is different than the other airport. He's already mentioned that it's a 1-year lease and not a 45-year lease. Yeah. They haven't made improvements. There's all kinds of factual distinctions between this and the large airport.
I guess struggling here, Bob, with is...
On top of which...
Kelly, 1 second. What they're struggling is, what is the... It sounds like we've got two or three people saying we're ready for a motion. How do you word the motion? Do we delete the parcel or set it to zero?
We can't delete the parcel.
All we can do is
set the question. I don't understand why you to the public. The county ought to be put on the books and pay taxes.
There is.
Well, it'd be the same as a church.
There is a parcel currently, but it's owned by the county.
Oh, okay. So set it to zero.
Okay. So do I have a motion?
Motioned. I'll second.
Dan's motion to set to zero.
I decide you don't make a motion or make any motion
right now
on this parcel, especially since you own the lease and own the airport. You better stay away from it, send it to the state, get clarification, because this property is no different than city-owned Branson Landing. No difference whatsoever. They own the building, they own the land.
I
disagree.
My own personal opinion is that you ought to table, you got a bunch of other cases like this. Okay, table it, and you can make a decision on all of them at the same time for the same reason. And that's probably the best course. It'll give me an opportunity to come up with the best reason for doing what you do. And I am meeting with the attorney from the large airport, even though the factual distinctions are there. We'll be going over the law. But y'all can do what you want.
Just for Chrissy, seconded by Chuck, by the way, so you got that.
All right. Question.
Yes, sir.
Bob said we couldn't eliminate the parcel. When did this parcel number come into play?
This year.
So it was a new parcel.
You guys want to remember, we labeled it with an L, Chuck, like we've been advised by many circuit courts. There's no right to collect unless the L is added to the parcel number. We had a court case like this without it on Treasure Lake. We could not collect a leasehold interest because the L wasn't added. Once we add the L, this is not deleting the parcel number. We have actually created a taxable issue by adding that L to our parcel number.
But they can decide not to make it taxable and say that it's exempt as county property and that there isn't a leasehold that's taxable on it. I mean, they could do that. But
go ahead, Danny.
I've got a question, and it pretty well sums it up in a nutshell. If they had the catering service moved into the airport facility inside the big building, I don't think that it would be taxable to that business on a lease agreement of 1 year. And so I don't care what attorneys say. I don't care what they all say. I have an opinion about it, and it's county-owned building, county-owned property. And under those facts, the lease agreement that they have, when it doesn't extend but a year, is totally different than the other. I think you're talking about apples and oranges.
I totally agree with Danny.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. If someone wants to call a vote, we'll go.
I totally disagree with James. I think it's 180 degrees opposite of Branson Landing and the Branson original airport leases and all that stuff.
City of Branson owns the building, the City of Branson owns the land.
Yeah,
you're not 1 ounce difference.
But okay. It does not create a valuable leasehold estate in land. It's not taxable and has no value. So I would call the question.
All right. Got to call the question. Those to set the valuation for this parcel in BOE number 0022 to zero. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. You will back to zero.
Okay. Will I get some documentation sent in the mail to that?
Yep, you'll get something mailed to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, could I ask, I do have several more of these that actually have not been scheduled.
Let me guess, Avis Rental?
I believe Avis
John
Rental.
John Lawler.
Lawler Airport.
I remember Avis Rental, but I don't remember the other
John
one.
John Lawler.
Can you at least let me do the research before you take those up since they're not on the schedule?
Oh, my gosh, Bob,
I agree with the result, I believe. I believe I totally agree with your result.
No, but I don't. I agree. I question whether we should make a...
The problem with them is I don't have a parcel number. Would those all have a parcel number?
They have to.
They would? Okay, I'll have to get with you on that.
They should.
All right, we've got 2 minutes going into the next session. We're going to let you schedule those, Cindy.
Okay.
And that's BOE number 0023, if you guys would pull that up. And here's Hodge. And that's Colin, it looks like. So you've got about 3 minutes to review the file here. Purchase 163, markets 163, according to the application. It's on the books for 247. Emery Creek.
When did their big blowout happen out there? Was it before or after January 1 of 2003?
After.
It was after? Is that when the feds came in?
Well, not exactly, but it was... Maybe when I got involved just as it was starting to explode, so... I mean, I just became a commissioner when it all started falling apart out there. It was after January 1st of 2009.
Well, when did the feds take out Green Tree or whatever it was that was...
I don't remember that. Didn't the developer come in and we made quite a bit of concessions to his value? Let me ask you, Cindy, was this parcel affected last year?
This one, no.
This was not affected?
No, did not come before the other.
We did have, my understanding, Mr. Redford came in and we talked about a bunch of his properties.
Right.
And reduced a bunch of values. This wasn't
was this
one of them?
This was not one of them, huh?
No. No, this was not one of
Settlement statement's in there, and it shows who they sold it to.
Bought it from an individual.
This was purchased in 09.
September of 09.
But we acted, did he purchase it from Redford?
No.
We bought it from some other individual.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because we heard Martin. Redford's before that time, so.
From North Carolina.
All right.
All right, everyone have that file up. You're reviewing it. I'm going to go ahead and make the phone call to get this thing on schedule.
This is the phone call.
We are calling Joseph or Lisa Hodge.
Hello.
Hi, is this Lisa?
Hello?
Lisa, this is Jim Stropas. I'm with Taney County and the Board of Equalization. I have you on speakerphone.
Okay.
We have a scheduled time to talk with you or Joseph about your application to appeal the property assessment?
Correct.
All right. I just want to make sure we're all talking about the same thing. What you've got, you're being broadcast and recorded on the internet and recorded for record purposes. We have the Board of Equalization, which is a five-member board. The assessor, the clerks, and so on and so forth. And what the process is that we'll hear from you your details of why you believe the valuation is incorrect. Then the board may ask you a few questions. Then we'll follow that up with the assessor giving his facts for why the valuation is set the way it is. And then at the end of the day, hopefully the board will make a decision, and whatever the results are will be mailed to you to the address we have on file at the 215 address.
Okay.
All right, you understand?
Yes.
All right, well, we have your paperwork that you had sent to the clerk's office to file the application here, so we are ready for you to start and just go from there.
Okay. We purchased the house, I believe it was September 29th, and we paid $163,000 for the house. So I would think that we shouldn't be taxed on anything more, you know, than what we actually paid for the house. Obviously, that's what it was worth, and that's what it sold for.
Okay. And you bought it from an individual, not a bank or a foreclosure or anything like that?
Correct.
Okay. Was there an appraisal done or anything like that?
No. We paid for the house outright, so we didn't have an appraisal done.
Okay.
And from talking with everyone that lives around us, up and down the street, everyone else's house prices were in line with that. Some were a little less than what ours were. A lot of these houses sold around the same time. I think we were probably one of the higher end houses that sold during that time.
Okay, thank you. BOE member, do you have any questions for Lisa?
How long did the people have?
When was the house completed?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
When was the house completed construction-wise?
Let me look at the paperwork. I believe it was 2008 or something.
Let me look at the paperwork. Which was 8, because the values of 2008 went up from 8 to 9.
I don't see here on my paperwork the date of the house. It was either 2007 or
8,
and I don't know that it's here on my paperwork.
All right.
I've got a question.
We have one question here. Hey, Bob, would you move that microphone over there?
She can probably hear me. Can you hear me?
To where do you
hear? Yes.
We're looking on the graphic that we have here, and the homes that are all around you are valued at the same value that the assessor has them at as your lot. We're looking at a graph here with his parcel ID number and the assessed value, and so what we're looking at in the lots that are comparable.
Well, yeah, and we're aware what the assessor has assessed us as well as a lot of our neighbors, because a lot of us have been talking about this. We were all kind of shocked whenever we got our assessment. I'm sure you guys, if you haven't already, are going to be getting, you know, visits from people up and down the street, because everyone last summer was buying these houses up and down the street. And we were probably one of, like I said, one of the higher end ones that actually sold. I know people directly right around us, their sale prices were less than 1 hour's worth.
All right.
We were all assessed prior, but that's not what we actually purchased the home for.
All right. You bought this in September of 2009, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. The people that you bought it from, when did they buy it?
I don't know.
Did they buy it from the developer sometime in 2008 or 2007?
Understanding, I don't know.
Do you know what they paid for it?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what the Martins paid for the house?
I do not.
Okay. Questions, Chuck? Anything, Dave? Okay. Well, let's. I would. If you
it says
don't,
the same as all the others out
yeah.
there, so it should be.
We're gonna have the assessor now kind of explain his reasoning behind the assessed price. All right. Here we go, James. Go ahead. Oh, Bob, would you move that back over? And go ahead.
Well, the basic. The houses sold for up in the 200,000 range all the way up to 280 in 08 and 07. That is the information gathered to put them on the books January 1st, 2009. And yes, I have a huge amount of sales, 10 or 12 sales, but they all occurred in 09 and early on here in 10 of a probably 40% decline. From the sales price. It's nothing I can help. I'm driven by law to make these adjustments in 2011. That's just how it is in the assessor's office. We're trying to, get a grasp on what's
going on. One thing, just a clarification from law, is that the assessor has to set the price based off of January 1st of 2009, because we do it every two-year cycle here. So what he's saying is that there's going to be an evaluation and a readjustment for January, for the 2011, but just he's pointing out that the price has to be set by some January 1st of 09.
And your taxes for 2009 and 2010 are based on the January 1, 2009 value.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Right. And I understand that. It's just that's not what the houses are selling for. And so are a few houses at the end of the street that realtors have tried to price around the 200 range, and they've been sitting vacant, not selling. We missed their last year. Those houses don't move. And all of these around us have sold in our price range. That's the ones that are selling. So obviously that's where they're valued today.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're not dealing with today's prices.
We're dealing with January 1, 2009.
Okay.
So
what houses sold for in 2007, 2008 dictate
or
this,
2009
this value.
Yeah, the January 1, 2009 value.
Okay.
There's no doubt your taxes will go down with the 2011 assessment.
Right. Any other questions for...
Comment. I think we should look, maybe table this one, and look at what we did when the developer was in, because we reduced the number of...
Okay.
As I remember, we reduced...
That was vacant lots only.
It's the value of the lot.
And right. Yeah, based in improved areas. Yeah. We valued them all the same.
I can just background, lot values tumbled way before finished residences tumbled. So.
Okay, so you're saying we adjusted the lot prices last year for vacant lots only, undeveloped land.
Right.
Unimproved land.
Built
sorry.
By contractor
gotcha.
And trying to sell.
Chuck, was that in the form of a motion, or are you just making a comment?
Well, I'm looking at the appraised land value of $70,000 on that lot.
Right.
And I look at what Branson Hills, I know we had that up last year.
Right.
And we appraised the lots. If I remember right, we appraised lots where there's developed or undeveloped at
right.
the same price.
Right.
But now we're saying we've got this developed price. And
I don't think that's correct. I think you'll find that there's not any difference. And I'm looking at the September 9, 2008, lot sale right beside this lady for $79,000 on a vacant lot. It's right here in this same study.
Okay.
Just strictly from when we look at the information and the timing is what the problem is.
All right. For the sake of time and for, is there any last minute questions we want to ask Ms. Hodge? Seeing none. All right. Do you have any last comments for the group?
I do not. That's it.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll deliberate throughout the day or at the end of the day to kind of sum things up. If there may be a motion to table, if there's a lot of applicants, we may. It's hard to say exactly, but we'll deliberate all this in the next break we get, and then you'll be notified via mail.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So we'll leave that one undone. The next one on schedule for 145 is last three digits of 030, Charles and Pamela Keys. So if you want to pull that up on there and come on to the microphone, give us a second to pull this up.
And I don't agree with it. We'd have to just turn the light around.
All right. You must be Charles?
Yes.
All right, Charles. So we have all the information you submitted to the clerk for the application. So we have that on our laptops. We're pulling that up right now.
Okay.
So the process is really, if you you may have heard this spiel, is that you'll get an opportunity to tell us why you believe the assessment is incorrect. We'll ask questions, the board will ask questions, the assessor will state why he assessed it, then either now or at the end of the day we'll make a decision on this, your case, and then whatever the decision is, it'll be mailed to you,
okay.
Whatever it may be. So let me just recap this. It is, you purchased the house on February 12th of 2010. You purchased for $151,900. I don't see what you believe the price should be. What should the price you believe? What are you asking for? Is it for sale price?
For sale price is what I'd ask for.
Okay. And it looks like...
$253,000.
It looks like $253,000 is on the books for. And this was a new house in Emery Creek added in 08. That says to the tax year. So is it an 07 completion, is that right, house?
I would think so.
Okay, that's usually it's a year before. So, all right. With that,
basically, he's using the sale price from February of 2010 to prove value for January 1st, 2009. Okay. Is it an arm's length sale? And what other evidence does he have of value on January 1st, 2009?
He mentions one other thing in his thing that there's been an error in the documentation of the property. He's saying that the basement is not finished
and it's a two bath only.
And it's a two-bath only, which are, maybe we have to look at the actual manual card in order to see if that's how the assessor has it inspected or not. But I'd say from the Manitron stuff, or whatever this is, the Equitex stuff here, the base area is almost double what the adjusted area is almost double what the base area is, making me think that they're counting the lower level as part of the gross living area. This finished area. Is that possible, Dunes?
It is totally possible. It wouldn't drive the price to where you're thinking.
It wouldn't drive it down to the 160, but...
No. I did not send nobody out to confirm the basement not being finished, but I'm pretty sure this is the house that the state confirmed the gravel floor in as being finished basement. I'm not possible.
Oh, is that the picture? Okay.
And I didn't want to touch this house because...
State Tax Commission... claimed this as a finished basement house. And so you went out to pictures, not you, but your group went out to pictures and it was a gravel floor possibly.
Didn't have no finish.
Right. So it's a strange job. So with all that, go ahead, sir.
Sorry. Go ahead. You just basically said what I was going to say.
Okay.
It does have a poured floor.
Okay.
But it is not finished. About 2 months ago, someone from the state came out,
okay.
And that's what got us interested in this, and they told us we had a finished basement and we had three bathrooms, which we do not. The basement is not finished, and we have two bathrooms. And so, I would just like to make that to the point. I did not understand, or were we ever told, that the price was 09
and not, okay, January.
January 1 of 10.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess you understand what I'm trying to say. We didn't know that it was a year back for the assessment. Is that not correct?
Yes. Taxes are set at the January 1st of every odd year.
Okay.
So whatever they were January 1st of 09, based on sales prior to that, what they stay through 2010, then January 1st of 2011, they will change again. But you were aware of what the taxes were when you bought the house?
Yes.
Okay.
So your value, so it'll be revalued January 1 of 2011.
Well,
I think that this is kind of following in the patterns of everything else we've seen.
Well, the only difference is if he said, can you double check that, James, if it's a finished basement? I mean, that would make the adjustment.
If you're accounting for a finished basement, he's being overvalued.
And one bath. I mean,
yeah.
Would it be out of line to ask your guys to go back out there and let's table this?
I think you can probably look at the manual card and see.
What's the definition of a finished basement? He said the floor is poured. Is that finished or no?
You're going to see a 0.4 to a 0.3 on your base area. You're not going to see much of a decline, but yes, you deserve that decline. And there, that would be entered in as an erroneous error on our appraiser's part. The question of the bathroom is an argument between the state and I and procedure throughout the state of Missouri. They're trying to change in midstream. I do not know that we need to credit him with the extra bathroom. All the other counties are complaining how the state's trying to apply that through these little runs they're making.
Okay.
So, but yes, the square footage of the basement could make an adjustment as an erroneous error. But I did want to point out to this board that two successor trustees' deed of foreclosure was issued on the property in 2010.
Okay, so it was a bank sale.
Yeah, it sold in January, and then why was it not closed till? We got one successor trustee deed December 11, 2009. Then we've got one special warranty foreclosure deed. And,
okay, both those were us.
Right.
But the first deal fell through.
Okay.
I just knew they had two issues.
Okay, I feel the price is a fairly accurate price because when it came back on the market the second time, when we finally bought it, it was basically a bid situation. The realtor asked, there were about four of us bidding on the house, and there were four of us bidding, and they came back to us and said, your highest and best offer. That's almost like an auction, and an auction is a fairly good way to set a price of something. So I think the price we gave was a pretty fair price for that area. And I think we're probably pretty consistent. I think this afternoon you're going to see several of us from Emery Creek out here. And, you know, we're all caught in about the same situation.
Okay.
High valuation. We paid probably $100,000 less or $130,000 less than what it was evaluated at.
James, do you want to make
the adjustment for the basement and approve what I give?
What adjustment can they make, though?
I was going to say we move. I move that we table this until such time as James can make a recalculation.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Dick Kelly, second by Dave to table until we get a recalculation from the assessor. Any more discussion? If not, all those in favor of tabling, say aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0. So what's going to happen is that we're going to get a new documentation from the assessor. I don't think it's necessary for you to be here because we'll deliberate that information with the facts that we've presented and then make a decision maybe the next BOE session. So you won't get notified this week on most likely on this, but it may be the week following.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, well, thanks for coming in.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
But 011. 011 is when you're going to get your adjustment, I would think.
All right, so just for those listening in, we have about 10 minutes before the 2 o'clock phone call. Does everyone feel all right? Do we want to do a
week? I would like to go ahead and make a motion on the previous one. Let's see.
Hodge.
Westgate?
Hodge.
No.
Hodge.
Let's see, which one did, yeah. Was it the Hodge?
Yes.
The old phone call, the 023? Yeah, from Emery Creek?
For deny.
Danny's motion to deny the request.
Second.
Second by Dave.
Discussion.
Yes, sir.
I'd still like to go back and look at what we did last year with the developer and the value of lots.
Okay.
Again, my thought is that, and I don't know this, this. I'm just, I'd like to look it up to see how we valued the lots.
That was totally a different deal. There was undeveloped roads. There was undeveloped lots, and we went through a whole, I don't know how many there was, but it was a large amount. But Mr. Redford presented evidence of unfinished roads in front of the lots, and we made adjustments at that point. I don't think it has a thing to do with construction on finished lots with homes and utilities that are available.
Okay.
Infrastructure.
If we are a board of equalization and we vote to do something different on this particular one, then what are we going to do with all the houses around it that's assessed the same? I think that we have to let 2011 reassessment take care of that. I think in this particular case, that's why I'm seconding.
All right.
I don't, the real, just evidence here, I guess, the real crash in lot values really occurred in early 2009.
It's a shame. We're all, we can all see
it. It sucks, but they're
going to get relief. We don't like it. It's just that what we have to stick to.
They're going to get relief first part of 2011. When things start booming again, they're going to be on the other side of the curve. So I would like to go ahead and call the question.
Call the question. All those in favor of deny, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Yeah, I'll oppose.
4-1. Motion passes. We still have two unfinished, which is the Westgate, the 008 and 009, if anybody has a motion for that. Otherwise, we can still have time for a recess, if you want.
Discuss that one a little bit.
Do you want to discuss that a little bit more?
Which one?
The one, the gentleman that first started after lunch.
The Westgate one. I think I need to do some thinking on that. That's,
if you want to do some thinking on that one, then...
Somebody real quick... A value of $5,000 or $6,000 assessed value would be how much?
Commercial?
No, and residential.
Okay.
Multiplied by 5.
0.15.
Wait, $5,000 or $6,000?
$26,000. Okay, you said the assessed value.
If the assessed value is $50,000, it would be approximately $250,000.
Yeah.
Well, if you divide that by 100 and then multiply it by $5.
Just to humor me, see here. Here's a lot.
The assessed value and the appraised value.
So that lot would be valued about $30,000.
You take the price times...
You divide by 0.19. If you multiply by 5, you're basically getting it.
Okay, 5,000 assessed value gets the appraised price...
It's 0.19.
$26,315.
So approximately a multiply by 5.
Just to humor me, here's two lots. That one's $5,300.
78 cents. $600.
Those lots don't have streets in front of them.
Well,
that's down at the end.
A couple more to the right then.
Where are we at? Which one are we talking about?
Value 13.
The one we've already voted on.
The ones that are
we voted on this already, haven't we?
Yeah, the ones that are showing the higher values are the ones that have houses on them. That one's unimproved. It's owned by a bank.
But then you go to the right one, and it's value 28.
Sure, yeah, that's click on
just a lot.
Yeah, click on that. That's probably got an improvement on it. Here, go over to...
She'll give you the picture here.
It won't give a picture of me.
Well, click on the eye over there, and then click on the parcel. It'll come up with...
Nothing.
A house.
It's got a $120,000 house.
Yeah.
And the land value is $30,000.
They got that lot at $30,000, yeah.
But you go down the road, 6-7 lots,
well, these other people have
70.
Lots
70, yeah.
That was my concern.
That was bought from the developer at $30,000 and a house put on it in 2008. This had a house put on it in 2007 and the land was set the value of those homes improved. All you have to do is go back to that $130,000 house and see if it was bought sometime in 08 or 09 because the house was built in 08.
But last year when we went through those, you raised the value of lots throughout a subdivision. Vacant or developed. And now we've got these right here, we've got lots at 70,000 and 30,000 on the same street. What it looks like.
You know what, the investor may have made a mistake on that street. I'm not sure of it.
Valued some.
That's where all the maps change.
Well, I'd say if there's any error in what the assessor's doing here, it's in lot values. And at that time frame, lot values were just about to collapse.
But like I say, one of the houses put on one layer.
What are we going to do about this Westgate thing? You want to table, Dan?
There's some facts in there about drainage and other things that you got to think about.
No, we haven't tabled. We've got no decision on the Westgate.
What do you want? You guys make it whatever you want to do on it, but I'd rather
think about it.
On the Westgate thing, I need to say, Eric is a friend of mine. I've known him for years. I've discussed this property with him even prior to being on BOE, and we trade sales and stuff, and there's some background and a lot of thoughts that I have on the property. And I think it's probably going to be more than what we can discuss this afternoon even. And if Danny wants to put some thought into it, I fully agree with that. So I, based on what Danny's saying, I'd like to go ahead and move to table it.
So the next BOE session?
Just don't make a decision. Can't we do that? Just don't make a decision.
Just to show me in,
or
what?
No, we still have to go back.
Just ask us to reschedule, if that's all you need to tell us.
Reschedule?
Or you don't even have to reschedule. Just bring it. We'll bring it back up.
Well, that's called table.
Okay, let's just, for formality, let's table to the next BOE.
Well, we don't actually have a motion to table.
We don't have to table it. We just hadn't made a decision yet.
We just have to agree not to make
a motion. Okay, so... Okay, then that's fine too.
It won't fall through the cracks.
It won't fall through the cracks. It's the only thing we're trying to avoid.
I don't mind coming down, but nowhere near what he's asking.
All right, so we're just not going to make a decision today. We still have 5 minutes. Is everyone still good? Okay, then pull up number 031, please, to be ready for the next.
If we have 5 minutes.
You have 3 minutes now.
Oh, okay.
You had five.
Jim. Just to let you know, this program that I had built, it keeps track of everything. Every appointment that we have is already entered into our system, so it has to have a decision one way or another before we close BOE. So we'll catch it if it doesn't.
All right, as long as you catch it. Okay.
The next one, White.
The next one is White, Daniel, or Alicia.
Let me guess.
Excuse me. It looks like... It appears that the purchase price was $605. Market value he's asking for is $605. On the books, it's for $978. It is, what is it?
It's a big expensive house.
Plaza.
Celebration Plaza, where's that? Can someone help me?
That is.
I don't even know that.
That's a shopping center, I believe. That
is Green Mountain?
Yes, it's right behind the old auto show building next to the Princess Dime.
Next to Roy, I know that. It used to be called Stormy Point was there, I think.
Stormy Point at sales office.
There you go, perfect.
Yeah.
There you go, right next to
I'm
Roy.
I'm not sure what my status is on this. I did an appraisal on this for a competing buyer.
Should he exempt himself or not exempt himself?
I think if he's got any question, he needs to...
Exempt yourself. Why don't you just bow out of that?
Okay.
That's just be better safe than...
But is information being...
I can give information and stuff. I can give you actual...
No, I'm asking, Jim. You got your smile on.
Yeah. I know. That's smart. All right. Well, then I'm going to make the phone call. Does everyone have a file up? You're not the Whites, correct?
No.
You probably are Brocker?
Right.
Okay, you'll be up next after this 15-minute call we have right now, the next one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we have you at 2:15. Perfect. All right, well, I'm going to make a phone call. Hey, settle down there, Eastern Commissioner.
Yeah, getting excited.
Throwing stuff at Dave.
Is this a brand-new building?
It's been there for a few years.
Well, it had no assessment in 2008.
Maybe they missed it.
No. I was reading wrong.
Hi, Julie. I'm trying to get a hold of Daniel or Alicia White.
My name's Colin.
This is Jim Strappas with the Taney County Board of Equalization. He had set up an appointment to appeal his appraised value of his property in Branson, Missouri.
Okay, hold on.
I did. The revised phone number? Yes, I did. All right.
This is showing the same value. Yes,
hi, Dan. This is Jim Strappas calling from Taney County, Missouri.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Well, sir. Hey, I've got you on speakerphone, and you're also being broadcast on the Internet, plus being recorded. We have you on speakerphone with the Board of Equalization, which is the group, the committee that hears any appeals to the assessment valuation of property. And we have kind of give you the lowdown of the process. You'll be able to, in just a few minutes, state the reason or the details why you believe your valuation is incorrect. The board may ask you questions. The board consists of five voting members. Then the assessor will state the facts that he has and why he assessed it the way he did. And then at the end of the day, most of the time we vote to whatever the decision may be, and then we'll mail you the results. At certain times, we may table the discussion to get more information, but this whole process should take about 15 minutes or so for you. And do you have any questions before we start?
Who are the members that are there?
We have Chuck Pennell, Kelly Trimble, I'm the chairperson, Jim Strafis, Dave Oliphant, and Danny Strahan.
And James okay. Strahan.
And James Strahan and Donna Neely are also members.
Non-voting.
But those last two are non-voting members, but they are on the Board of Equalization.
Okay.
All righty?
I missed one. Chuck Pennell, Kelly Trimble, Danny Strahan.
Dave Oliphant, and Jim Strafis.
Got it. Okay.
All right?
Perfect. Well, thanks for doing this over the phone, guys.
Not a problem.
I would certainly like to be there. We are, we spend August there in Branson, and I would much rather be there than in Los Angeles today. So I appreciate you hearing me out.
All right. Well, we have all the paperwork you submitted, part of the application we have on our computers here ready to start. So go ahead and jump in and give us the details and any information you think we need to know.
Okay. I mean, I think I just cut to the bottom line. This is Celebration Plaza, and I'm sure all of you guys are familiar with Green Mountain Road. It's right over by where Celebration City was.
Yes, sir.
And Celebration City is now closed down, as is when I was there last month, the theater next door to it. So this is it's a property that I would consider a distressed property. It was on the market for roughly 8 months, and I paid $605,000 for it. I bought it from a Zions Bank out of, I believe they were out of Utah. Mm-hmm. And there had, basically there were two other offers on it. One was at $485,000 and one was at $525,000 to buy, which they turned both up and down. And basically I came in and gave an offer and they countered it at $605,000 and I bought it.
All right.
It was one of those things that it's a big purchase for us. I'm planning on retiring in Branson. I leveraged some other things I had here to buy it. The reason I tell you that is because I didn't have an appraisal done. The appraisal would have been somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 to do, and I felt comfortable enough with Bobby Hewells, who had brought the property to my attention, that it was a fair price. Right now it is, the rents there are around $4,250, which give it about I don't know the exact number, but around an 8% cap at $600,000, which is, really the going rate. And actually, it could be argued that it's may not be worth that as the tenant in there. I'm not sure if how long they will actually be in there.
All right.
So how it works, and for instance, when I bought my home out here, I know it automatically goes to the appraisal board, and when a value is put on through a purchase, the tax basis is automatically calculated through that. I know it's different there. Mm-hmm. So my point on this was, I think this building is valued at around $900,000 on your tax roll.
That's correct.
Which is, which is about, obviously it's not worth that anymore.
So one thing to explain the process, the assessor has statutory authority is to set values of property as of January 1st of the odd year. So this would be January 1st of 2009 is when the value of this property was established. So that's why that price is set by the assessor.
For 2 years and then
It's a two-year cycle.
And it will be reset in January 1 of 2011.
And did you hear that? It'll get reset January 1st of 2011 to the next two-year price set. So let me jump in here and have the assessor at least give some comments about the evaluation process.
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I talked to you, Mr. White, some time ago about this, actually right after you purchased it, I believe.
Yes, sir, you did.
My only concern was it was purchased at a later date that we could not do nothing with the value legally on my behalf. March 29, 2010 is settlement date. And I think that's what I told you then, and I'm sticking to my guns. That's what I'm telling you now. That's the only reason it wasn't revalued.
All right.
Okay, and then I think the further part of the conversation was the only thing I could do if I wanted to do it was bring it in front of the Board of Equalization.
And we also have our county attorney here to give you some advice, not advice, but just give you some direction of the process. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Well, let me just explain the process. January 1st, 2009, if you have some more evidence that it was worth less than what the assessor has it assessed at on January 1st, 2009, you're welcome to give that. The evidence of March of 2010 isn't extremely relevant to January 1st of 2009. It'll be extremely relevant to January 1st of 2011. If the board here finds against you, then you have the right to appeal to the State Tax Commission. And again, you don't have to, there's no need if it's not a corporation to have an attorney or anything like that, but they will come down here to Taney County. We won't necessarily have to go to Jefferson City. I don't know that they'll let you do it by phone, though. But you do have the right to appeal to the State Tax Commission.
But they'll still be looking at the January 1, 2009 valuation date.
But there is an appeal process, so whatever the board, I mean, if we vote on this later on today and the vote is, the majority vote is to deny, you still have an appeal process at the State Tax Commission level, okay?
Yeah, and I'm not interested in doing that. What I'm interested in is just what you guys think is the fair thing. I mean, is it fair if I'm buying it in March? And the, you know, obviously the commercial market is down significantly over the past year and a half since January 1st of 2009. And right now, I mean, it's an off-the-strip property where there's, you know, 38% vacancy in that market, and it's not worth that anymore. I'm trying to make do with buy the building, and you know, it's a negative cash flow property. That is it fair that now it's valued at that instead of having the new owner who buys it in March of 2010 in a completely different market continuing to pay the 2009 tax roll?
Fair in that it's uniform across the state that the two-year process is how it works and the value is set for 2 years. As soon as January 1st, 2011 kicks in, whatever the value is at that time, and it looks like it'll be significantly less, will be what you're paying taxes on. Everyone in a similar situation to you will be paying, because the values went down a lot of places, will be paying the January 1st, 2009 level. Is it an accurate value for 2010? No. Is it fair? Because that's the way the process works and everybody's doing the same thing? Yes.
The fairness in it probably comes when the market takes an upswing. The value would be set January 1, 2011. You obviously bought the property with the making your payoff on the exit from the property when you sell it. The upside for you is when you sell the property. If they reset the value January 1, 2011, using your purchase largely as evidence of what the value is, and then the value goes back up. I mean, this property once sold for $1,695,000, I think. If the value goes back up way up over $1 million, there'd be a two-year time frame there where the value is still set based on the previous values. So there's going to be a period where if values go back up, you're going to be paying less tax than what would be necessary than relative to its market value. So it kind of cuts both ways.
But that's the process
Missouri uses. It's set to keep the any swings in the market from screwing up the assessment rolls somehow.
All right. Just because we're coming close to the end of our time and we've got a tight schedule, any more information you would like to provide to us, Daniel?
Well, through this process, is it typical that you, I mean, at any point, are there any circumstances where you actually change the valuation of the property in between the two-year time period?
Yes,
if there's a casualty to the property.
Well, I mean, if the property has changed from an improvement or from deterioration, if the classification was somehow changed incorrectly, the use was changed somehow, very seldom does the valuation change if there was nothing done to the property from 09 to 010.
The assessed value will change if the assessor erred in the amount. I mean, obviously, if you could show that it was of a different value on January 1st, 2009, they would reduce the value here today.
And even if there was a change in the property, the valuation would be as of January 1 of the odd number of years. Still.
So to answer your question, very seldom in the even number of years is valuation change. It's usually the odd number of years during this BOE process that we get a large amount of applicants. Like last year, we were in the thousands, and this year we're in the hundreds. So it's very odd. The process is that usually it's the even number of year, like 2010, we don't do a lot of valuation changes because a lot of times, unless there's a lot of things that change the property, the valuation is the valuation as of January 1st or 9.
Well, in my opinion, a lot has changed, especially the tenant that was leasing 12,000 feet has moved out and built their own building. Now there's a tenant using a quarter or a quarter of the space that's there.
Okay.
So obviously a lot has changed as far as the usage goes. They have that whole Stormy Point timeshare operation in there that I think was paying $10,000 a month
right.
to rent the building.
They're paying 12 or 14 and square foot.
Now they've completely moved out.
Right, right. All right. Well, Daniel, I appreciate your time. And
can I ask one more question?
Yes, sir.
If it is decided that it's not going to be changed until January 2011, I guess this is a question for Mr. Strahan. Is there a high probability that in January 2011 it'll be reduced to the actual current value?
Well, he needs to put it at the actual current value on January 1st, 2011. That's what the statute and the Constitution dictate that he does. But the value that you bought it at, it depends on what the assessor says it's worth on January 1st, 2011.
And there most likely will be an adjustment to of what extent. That's what they do from now until the end of the year of setting prices for the 2011. So it's hard to say, but...
It could be higher or lower than what you paid for
it. Yeah, what you paid for it is evidence of what the value is. But it's not it's not like California where they automatically set it to whatever the latest sale price was.
And I understand that. I just would, if it's set in January of 2011 and it seems to not reflect the current market, then I would just seem like I'd be... We're back where I am right now.
You would be. You'd be back in BOE in the summer of 2011.
Right. Yeah. But you would have some. Some better cases because you bought it for a certain price in 2010.
You'd have a whole lot of ammunition to shoot at as well.
Right. There'd be a lot more ammunition. So, all right. Well, I need to jump off this. I appreciate your time, sir, and you'll be notified in the mail.
Guys, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye bye.
I think I can probably speak to this without any conflicts.
One second. Motion to deny by Dave Oliphant is on the floor.
Second.
Second by Chuck. He beat you by those. No. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0. All right. We now have BOE number 0033, the Brockners, William and Carolyn, and whoever's going to be speaking. If you come to the microphone, we'll pull up your file here. And I think your wife heard most of this spiel, but basically you may have heard this spiel too.
I heard most of it.
So
okay.
Let me just go off the application here. Port Royal Building 28, Unit 4. Purchase price in September 30th, 08, which was $89,697. You believe the market value is $54,000. It is currently on the books for $84,000. 832 is a residence, not as a commercial. And
you're claiming not equitable with other units.
Well, and you're claiming it's not comparable to other units of similar size.
In our building.
All right.
Similar size and age.
All right. So with that, go ahead and just state your stuff, and we'll just listen and take notes.
Okay. First of all, as far as the purchase price went, my wife and I realized it was an above mark. Pardon me. Just a second.
You bet.
Above market price. But two things. One, with the price, we purchased a good deal of furniture from the lady to get the price, within reason. And two, the reason it was worth that much money to us is my brother had a unit in that building. We both have large families, so we could share condos back and forth. So, and we looked at other units in there which were less priced in the Point Royal area. And, of course, there are some that are way.
Okay,
secondly, we did not realize that the product or the property was zoned commercial when we bought the property.
Okay.
When we got the bill, we suddenly realized it was, and we talked to the assessor, and they wrote a letter, and the next year they changed it, to residential. Okay, this would be for last year.
Right, we saw it.
Okay. But the valuation was higher than any other residential unit in our building by more than 25%.
Okay.
And do not under, that seemed quite unequal to us because they're all the same size, they're all the same age.
Can I ask you a question? Just
sure.
You said something earlier, I want to make sure I'm understanding. The $89,000, did that include the fixtures, furniture, and all that?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So you bought furniture with the condo.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And you're making a case that you paid above market value for a reason.
Well, for the unit, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, sir. I just wanted to, I heard you say that. I wanted to make sure I understood that.
Yes,
okay, go ahead.
Yes. And so when we looked on the assessor's website, and got valuations for the other units in the building. There are 12 units in the building, three of which are commercial, and the assessed valuation was $23,000, well, on two of them, $18,000 on another, on the commercial. One residential unit in the building, number 7, is not listed. Could find no record of it. But the rest are valued at either $11,920 or $11,810.
I see that.
Well, those are assessments. What are the?
That's the assessed value.
Yeah. Appraised valuation.
Here, $11,810.
I do want to make note, though, your value in January
62,150
of 09 did go down. Commercial. I mean, it went to residential, but it also the value was cut by about 25%.
Yeah, above every other.
Yours went down 25% over what it was in 2008. The value of your condo, valued on.
No. Because the commercial.
That doesn't have anything to do with commercial. Your unit's valued the same. It's just taxed different if it's commercial. But the value of the unit, the assessed value, is the same.
That makes sense.
And it went down 25%.
It's assessed at a different ratio.
Yeah. Right.
But the appraised price
stays the same.
But if it's commercial, if on a not a rental program,
right,
then it would just be taxed at a different rate.
23%.
32%
versus the residential, which is 19%.
But yours did go down 25% almost.
In 2000. If it went down, why did it not go down to the $11,800 or $11,900?
I can't answer that. I'm just making a point that on our records, it was valued in 2008 at $23,770, $24,530, and in 2009, January 1st, 2009, it was dropped down to $16,120, which is about 25%.
Well, that was from the commercial, too.
No, it has nothing to do with commercial.
Hold on. I believe it does.
The assessed value takes at 19% rather than 32%, so it could have reduced it
The assessed total.
The assessed value is that percentage of the appraised value.
Oh, I'm thinking appraised value.
Right. No.
Okay, yeah.
So you're correct. When the assessed value was changed from commercial to residential, mm-hmm. the assessed total would gone down
right.
to the 16,120, which is where it is right now,
correct.
Or an appraised price of 84,000.
Correct.
So that's one discussion you're having.
Right.
The other discussion is everyone who's comparable is at 11,000. 810,
yeah. right.
similar property of residential, similar size.
Right.
Same. Versus ours at 16.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. One question. Is yours main floor, upper floor?
It's a main. It's a first floor. It's a walk-in.
It's a walk-in.
Okay.
And the others are walk-up?
No.
Right. No.
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 Not,
it's a walk-in.
Some, okay.
There
are 12 units in the building. 12 of them are at ground, or 6 of them at ground level. Six of them. At one flight.
All right, okay. Let me give you a chance here. Dave, go ahead and ask your question.
Well, the unit next door to you, unit 5, sold 2 months after you bought yours. It sold for $85,000, just $2,000
okay.
different from yours.
That was the one that came in and we did the whole thing.
Yeah. So what was that one assessed at? Or was that one appraised at?
It is...
what parcel ID is that? Do you have a parcel ID or anything?
Yes.
You've got it up here on the
list.
005.
005.
That was commercial.
Yeah.
Can you open that up for me, Kristen?
Yeah.
That was a commercial one on 5.
But, I mean, selling price is the same whether they're using
it or
commercial.
It doesn't matter what they are if you take the appraised rather than the assessed value.
Okay.
And that one's on at
73,000.
76 with the...
So he appraised it at 76,000.
It's at 76,5, roughly.
Right. Yeah.
So why is that one... Is that one... Plus homes plus. Do you know whether that one is above you or next to you? Or?
Five is yes. Five is one next to us to the south.
Right.
Okay.
We're in four.
The question I'd have for the assessor is why is that one appraised differently than this one?
All right. Before we start asking the assessor questions, go ahead, Mr. Assessor. And do you have any more information? We're going to let the assessor kind of give us some information now. Is that all right with you?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, there are two different levels of condos. That's why I ran and printed these out.
Okay.
We noticed in this condo complex that there had to be an adjustment of a 125. The physical condition was where we put that adjustment because we noticed that any commercial type selling condo was bringing slightly more.
Okay.
So that's why you see from their condo unit 4 all the way out of the building, you don't see the 16,000 or the 11,810 that they're referring to.
Okay.
But there is a mistake on our part on appraised land, and it has to be just at top everybody's at 3470 in that building.
And he's a 10.
It should be 3470 instead of 10,000.
Sorry.
So that's 7,000 right there.
3470.
Yes.
3470 is what the
right, which will put their appraised value at 77,000 something.
So, from the ear perspective, you're at 77. Okay, so he's admitting there was just a typo error there. So, other questions you guys, gentlemen, have for?
Well, one other thing I need to ask the assessor on this sheet that you gave a sales ratio.
Right.
That has to do with what?
The sales ratio is compared to the assessor's value versus what it's on the sold for. And those two condos are actually the driving force for the increase of the whole complex. They sold for above what we had them on the books for. And you and your neighboring condo. It isn't like we pick one, but when we start to see a pattern there, the two selling what they did, and both needing remodeled, basically, or the one did need remodeled, what would it have sold for if it had been remodeled?
One question I've got for you is, with the price of furniture in there, how does that affect your...
I see people listing the price of their furniture. They call it used. Sometimes they'll say they got $2,000. Sometimes they'll say they got $10,000. And if you do go personally check it, it's identical. So I can't lay a lot of... Basically, the commercial condos, if they claim it's worth $50,000, they get a higher income tax deduction.
Right.
On a $100,000 sale, they can deduct their personal property.
But they bought it from a commercial is what they've done.
As a commercial use. So to say what the value of the furniture is, I'm not, I can't inspect the inside.
What do you think the value of the furniture was?
Well, let me see. We bought a bedroom set, a queen-size bedroom set that was in very good condition. We bought a leather couch that new has probably been around $1,000, maybe $1,100, but it was used, and so I'd say probably $500. We bought a refrigerator,
okay,
a washer, and a dryer.
Okay.
And, you know, I think if you lump those together, you're probably $800 to $900. The appliances is what I'm talking about.
So $3,000 to $4,000 possibly.
Yeah, probably.
Most come with appliances, though.
Yeah, we don't normally verify. All sales are verified.
I understand.
Having washer, dryer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions for the applicant here? Okay. What we're going to do is just, we're going to... Oh, you want to come up?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
I understood when you were talking to the other gentleman that some of it... varies from year to year deal.
Yes.
We had come up with all of these different things, which we included in our submission, about how much the condos are worth now. I mean, does that count anything with all of this now?
Not right now, it doesn't. Unfortunately.
We get the opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. It all helps for next year.
Yeah, next year you're going to see it.
You'll probably most likely see a reduction, but I mean, the thing is, The assessors are already making a recommendation to reduce it some, just because of the land value, and that's part of the discussion that we'll have at our next break. Is that all that the board wants to do? Is it that plus maybe the furnishings, or nothing at all? It's really the board's decision at that point, which we'll facilitate probably at the next break or so. So, really, the current price market really affects the 2011 January 1st assessment process.
Okay, but let me ask you this. This being the case in the building where we have ours as a separate level versus the other residential units, will they all be equalized or will ours still be 25% higher than everyone else?
It will be based on whether we see something to do with corner units or something that may sell higher for having a view around the building instead of against the back of your neighbor's unit.
Okay,
fine. We can see those patterns forming when we have plenty of sales, but I was just going to reference a couple of things here for you. In 10-10, or 7-26 of 09, we had a unit out there sell for 92.5. We've had units here in 6-26 of 09 sell for 109. But look right here. Let me tell you one that's really exciting for you guys and for us lower. Mm. 4-16 in 2007, I got one sold for $20,000. So we have these information. We try to come up with a generalized what we're trying to do. And it's all right here, and I can furnish it to you if you need it.
What?
Some people don't give the assessor, they'll just give them the values, of course, and it's to their benefit.
Yeah.
It helps them. I've got 2 pages of sales in them in Port Royal condos.
Right, for the last couple of years? Or,
yeah.
So you're asking for somewhere in the 60-something thousand range
right.
on yours. If the sales trend for this year, we have enough stuff that January 1st of 07, he could lower it. It might be 50,000.
Well, I understand. I guess what I'm saying, it's not going to be, we'll just reduce everybody's valuation by 10% or 15%. It will be an across the board, these units in these things are worth
His job is to be not only accurate but also equal, but comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. If your unit's different than somebody else's, it's not going to be the same value. And if he views it as the same, it should be the same value.
Right.
Okay.
And I agree.
All right. With that, I think we've run out of time, and you'll be mailed the results of whatever the board decides. The clerk office will do that probably. You'll probably receive something in the mail next week.
Okay.
All right.
Now, this is Taney County. I know our main residence is in Johnson County on the Kansas side. And we don't get shocks up there because 4 or 5 months before you get your taxes, you get your new assessed valuation. Mm-hmm. And my understanding, that's not the way it works down here.
Yeah, we'll be that way when 7-Eleven goes into full effect.
There was some legislation passed that'll go into effect.
Yeah.
If it doesn't get upheld in court or something.
Right, it's in effect.
If your valuation changed from 1 year to the next, then you did get a notice early.
If it was increased, you would get a notice.
But if it was decreased.
But if it stayed the same, there you got no
Well, and that's why I knew it had stayed the same, because we were surprised by the commercial, but okay, understand that. But then when we sent in that, we weren't advised of any valuation, you know, before we got the next tax bill. And once you get the bill, it's too late to do anything.
I think you'll find Johnson County is considered one of the leading assessor's offices in the nation also. They're way ahead of everybody.
They were ahead of everybody else in collecting tax.
Yeah, we that too.
All right, okay. well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Just to let you know, I think Johnson County SA was required to go into to apply that new law in advance.
Yeah, that's why
they already got that.
I'd like to make a motion that this assessment be changed by the assessor to reflect the value of the land portion, or whatever he noticed there,
I believe. From $10,000 down to $34,570.
Drop that down to the same, and other than that, it stay for this rest.
That's a reduction of $6,500. You said it's $34,70, I think, James.
Yeah.
So it's a reduction of $6,530.
So I'll second this.
We have a motion by Dave to reduce the land valuation to the $34.70. Kelly Trimble has seconded it.
Jim, you were talking about furniture and stuff.
So that means you won't take into consideration the furnishings.
Well, see, and the only thing I will say for discussion was I believe that there's probably $3,000 that we could take off of it for furniture.
That's off of his sale price. His sale price is $84.
I think the valuation could be reduced by $3,000, but that's the only thing I was going for. Is that if there wasn't going to be a motion, I would have gone with the reduction in land and an additional $3,000. That would get him around $74,000 total price. But
well, this took advantage. We don't know on the sales price of anything that transpires out there if there's any. I mean, even a single-family residence could include an awful lot of stuff, like an outbuilding and some other things that are, you know, could be considered personal property, patio furniture that somebody leaves, a barbecue grill.
Right.
I think we're getting into a can of worms if we start trying to look at exactly how much personal property there is.
There's a limit to how detailed you can get in your analysis of any individual sale. Also, you never have all the details.
Gotcha. If $89,670, if he got $5,000 worth of furniture, we still didn't have as much value.
Yeah, his case is discrimination. It's not value.
Right.
And where he comes out is making it equitable with his neighbors.
All right. All of those in favor of reducing the land valuation to $34.70 from $10,000, say aye.
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 Opposed, aye. Motion carries 4-1.
I'm sorry, who was the one?
Me! I wanted to be odd man out this time.
That's in your district, too.
He keeps high about furniture.
Yeah, I'm all about furniture. All right, we're going to move on to, oh my goodness, we fell in behind. Please hurry up and pull up item number 034, which is Dickerson. Is that correct? 230, Dickerson. It is a phone call, so if everyone would get that going. And then, let me get that up here first. 234.
Maybe you'd like to have a general discussion on some stuff later, but I would like to bring something up.
Okay.
We're noticing a trend here of so much of the people are talking about the 09 and 010 values. They didn't purchase property until those years. I think we need to just pretty well across the board say that, you know, unless there's a change to the property in the way of a land or a mistake and a clerical error or an addition or a subtraction of improvements to the property, that we just say that it's going to stay the same.
Unless they have some real good evidence right about the time of January 1,
right.
2009. Showing
but without,
you had
without evidence of that, but we're just exercising futility on that.
This is Emery Creek also?
This is another Emery Creek.
They bought it from Fannie Mae.
From a bank? This is Jimmy Dickerson. We are 10 minutes. We only have 10 minutes on this one to stay on schedule.
Hello.
Hi, is this Jimmy?
Yes.
Jimmy, this is Jim Strophis. I have you on speakerphone. I'm calling from Taney County, the Board of Equalization.
Yes.
Okay.
On the speakerphone here, we've got the five voting members of the BOE and the two non-voting members. We also have the clerks. Recording this is also being streamed live on the internet, and our county counselor. So we just, that's the whole team to hear this case. So let me kind of go through the scenario for you. We have approximately 10 to 15 minutes to discuss your application for appeal on the property assessment. We have all the paperwork that you submitted to the clerk's office part of the application, so we have that up and viewing that right now. So the normal process is that we've reviewed the paperwork. You'll have a few minutes here to talk about why you believe the valuation is incorrect. The assessor then would give us his reasoning for the assessment valuation. Then sometime today there'll be a vote made, and you'll be mailed the decision of what the board chooses at a later time, and you'll probably receive that in the mail next week. And do you have any questions before we start the process?
Not really. I don't know what you need for me to say. I know most of these houses we're selling for the price range is what I paid for mine, $160, and some of them was going less.
Sure.
The only question I got is I'm looking at Uniform Residential Appraisal Report that was done, and that was showed a 2008 tax year on this house. This in subject was $1,200 estimated. Now my concern is how come it went up $7,000?
Okay. One thing I wanted to throw out before what was that again? You said you had an appraisal done.
Yeah, the appraisal was when I got the loan. It was a Uniform Resident appraisal. And they had on this house, 237 Southview, the estimated taxes in 2008 was $1,200.
There was a reassessment done January 1, 2009.
Okay, so Missouri statute is that we do assessments every 2 years as of the property value based off January 1st of 2000, the odd year, so it would be 2009. That's what we're dealing with, the valuation of the property for that date. Second thing is, we don't deal in taxes. We deal in the appraised value.
I understand.
Okay.
The third thing on that is the appraiser was making it. I'm assuming that at that time the property had not been appraised for valuation, and the appraiser was making an estimate of what he thought the taxes would be, and we don't know what he was basing that estimate on.
Okay, one more thing from the board. Go ahead, Dave.
The 2008 tax assessed value was $48,840, the same as it is right now. So it was assessed on 2008 the same as it was in 2009 and 2010.
So the valuation was the same as it is this year. So with all those facts,
the appraiser had to have made an error on that.
Yeah, the appraiser made an incorrect estimate.
Okay. Anyhow, all these houses are not, and they got these houses now all along the street where I live at 237 Southview. They got it from 150 to 179, and they just not selling. So, I don't understand. Let me ask you one thing. What was the assessed value of this house? $48,000, is that what you said?
The assessed value is $48,840, and the appraised price as of January 1st was $257. $61 total was the appraised price.
I don't understand where they coming up with that. I mean, who came up with that?
The assessor's department would come up with that. And if you want, we can just let James Strahan, the assessor, is here, and he can speak to that appraised price. Go ahead, James.
All those houses in that entire area was appraised.
Okay.
All those houses in that area was appraised the same way until the company went defunct last year, and we all know, everybody knows, the value has dropped to, of course, I see where you bought from Fannie Mae, a lot of bank sales out there, and we know things has went to pieces, but by law, every 2 years, we can reassess in the state of Missouri.
Right, I understand that.
And we're looking at your information for 2011, and all your neighbors will be treated the same. But right now, 08 and 07 sales drove the January 1, 2009 market, and those houses were selling for under what we've got them on the books for. They're selling from $250,000 up to $300,000 in that time frame. And
See, mine was built. It was built in 2007, and they never did sell it. My house, and a lot of them that I had looked at before I bought this house, had some issues. It wasn't completely finished and stuff like that. You know, like the sprinkling system on mine, for example, did not have a control in the garage. It was all wired and everything with no controls, so I put the controls in it. I had to put a whole new priming tank in it because they didn't build it right and it cracked the tank, so I had to put all new tanks.
Okay.
So, yeah, stuff like that, you know, I realized what they were appraised for at the going price, but a lot of these houses weren't completely finished is what I'm kind of looking at also. And most of them that I looked at, one of them didn't have air conditioner or either somebody stole it out. One of them didn't have a grinding tank, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean...
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, I just based it on stuff that we had to put money into it. And I realized we got to... houses for a very reasonable price, but also economy went completely off.
I understand. What other information or questions does the board have for this gentleman? Seeing none, sir, do you have any last comments for us?
No, I think you covered it all, and I'm pleased on everything. You know, I kind of hope you will look at it and take it into good consideration.
All right. We'll take that under advisement. With nothing else, sir, we'll say have a good day, and you'll be notified via mail what the decision is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day, all of you.
Artie,
bye.
Goodbye.
Nice guy.
Very nice.
Motion to deny.
We have a motion by Dave to deny.
Second.
Second by Danny Strahan. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of deny, say aye.
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 Opposed, none. Motion carries. And that is that. We have approximately 3 minutes. If anybody needs to take a quick recess, otherwise we'll keep on pressing through.
You just go ahead and I'm going to give you water to make a
little
bit. Okay, so let's just take a 5-minute recess and we'll start at 2:45. It's a face-to-face, so they're not here yet anyways.